Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of the new global pandemic, burnout. Joining me by phone is a longtime real estate veteran and author, the fantastic Kara Hauser, who is a sought-after career strategist and empowerment coach. Welcome, Kara.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so we've been planning having you on the show for quite a while, and this is something that is a very, very important topic, and it's on everybody's mind that I speak with in multifamily, is the fact that they have shortages and trying to find and keep good people. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the burnout for a lot of reasons. But let's talk a little bit about, what is burnout? How do you define burnout?
Yep, wonderful. I agree. It's in all the industries, and absolutely, and maybe even especially in multifamily too. But before I do, I just wanted to say I'm really appreciating, I've been listening to your program and the last few episodes that you've had around purpose, culture, mental health, inclusion. These are all such important things, and they actually are all kind of related to what we're talking mm-hmm. about, because when you have those things well and right, mm-hmm. burnout is actually a lot less likely to happen. So really grateful that you're focusing on these issues.
Yeah.
But back to your question, what is burnout? I like to define it as not a sign of doing things wrong, but a sign of hustling your tail off so hard to do everything right and still feeling like a failure at the end of the day. This is especially true for caregivers or anybody who has additional responsibilities outside of the world of paid work, which is most people. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have that at this particular phase of your life, we all have personal challenges we're going through and lives we're trying to lead. So it's sort of the classic case of trying to do too much in too little time. And when you burn the candle at both ends for long enough, it takes a toll on your mental and your physical health. So that's kind of like old burnout. And then I'm defining now new burnout as this fun phase of life where we add technology and expensive regimens and time-consuming things to our lives in order to try to help. So we all know with technology, we get to be always on 24/7, which kind of is convenient and also can lead us down a pathway where we're just putting way too much time and energy into work stuff that in a way that wasn't available before. And on top of that, we have the self-care industry, which on its face sounds cool. You know, we need to take care of ourselves, but now we're being sold all these things and ways to spend our time and money. And we don't have, you know, more time and money than we care to spend. And so it's just become sort of an increasingly compounded problem.
Yeah. And, you know, I was speaking at the Apartmentalize, the National Apartment Association's conference. I was on a panel, and one of the great panelists, Jacora Connor, when I asked her the question about how she defined burnout, she related it in this way. She said that burn means, you know, hot, anger, and then out means I've checked out, I'm gone, I'm out of here. Do you see that as a good definition as well?
Yeah, I like that. And I think part of the reason why we are so, you know, we feel angry and then feel sometimes like we have no choice but to just escape the situation, is it has to do with the expectations that we put on ourselves and each other in American work culture. And that's what I was saying before. Like, we think we're doing it all right. You know, we think we're trying to check the boxes. We're trying our best to do what we think is expected. And then when we do all that and we plug along for years doing it, we realize that it actually has led us down a really, really bad pathway, because it encourages us to put work, you know, paid work stuff first and exclusively. And in the real estate world, in the operations side of the world, and then later in the development world, in my career, I mean, I know very personally how it was expected that you should be always on. You know, you should be doing all of your, essentially if work wasn't 100% plus of your priority list, then you were kind of deemed as not a committed person. And that doesn't work for anybody for any period of time.
Yeah, and, you know, with all the discussions that I hear about burnout, it seems like it's almost an epidemic. Are you finding that?
Yes, absolutely. If you look at the surveys and the numbers on it, it's actually just horribly, horribly staggering. There was a survey recently that Deloitte did, which said 77% of American workers reported feeling burned out. And then one done even later by a career advising and job search organization called Zipia that put the number at 89%. So I would absolutely call that an epidemic. That's pretty much everybody.
Hmm. We've got about 4.5 minutes left of the segment. I wanted to ask you about most companies, when people work at companies, they have or earn PTO time, time to take off for personal reasons. Do you find that people aren't taking advantage of that? And does that contribute?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been guilty of this myself. You know, you're thinking that it's great. You've got this PTO on paper, but when it comes time to actually taking it, the heaven and earth you have to move to prepare yourself to leave and the hell you have to go through when you get back to dig out of the hole that waits for you when you get back feels so overwhelming that it almost feels like, is this even worth it to do this? And so some folks won't do it. And in some companies, the culture is outright hostile. Like, it's sort of a known thing that you're not really supposed to take it. And if you do, you're supposed to still be available for work during that. And again, if you don't have any rest, which isn't optional, which is not optional, which is actually just a basic human need, different forms of rest and connection with oneself and others. If you don't make time for that, burnout is an absolute inevitability. And unfortunately, ironically, it gets in the way because companies think, okay, well, we're getting more productivity out of people. But over time, it just it becomes less and less because you just have so little energy left to give.
We've got about 3 minutes left. I want to ask you, as it relates to the multifamily world, people on the front lines, the property managers, I mean, you'd mentioned earlier in the segment that, you know, caregivers, when you're taking care of someone at your home, but frontline multifamily people in the industry are taking care of not only their employees if they're in a management position, but also the residents, and so they're basically caregivers. Do you find that that makes it even more difficult for folks like that?
Oh, 100%. You're basically in caregiving mode 100% of the time. And I remember back in my days as a GM of a multifamily portfolio in Berkeley, California, we were dragged into very intimate issues of people's lives, including illness, death, financial strain, college students who didn't know how to operate appliances, mental illness, crime, you name it. I mean, in my 20s, I experienced a death in one of our projects and, you know, found the person, and I remember being pretty traumatized actually about it. And back then, and being probably even still now, my coworkers and boss and everything were like, oh, it's no big deal. You know, it's fine. You'll be. And I remember thinking, this is a really sort of serious thing that happened, you know? And then you just got to go home and take care of your kids and do the rest of your life. And it's really not given, the time and I think for restorative attention that it needs.
Yeah. Before we go out of the segment, you know, this topic we've entitled as the new global pandemic is burnout. But how much did the previous pandemic, COVID, play in this burnout where people are experiencing now?
I mean, I think we're still figuring that out. It's been tough in my experience. I mean, I'm raising teenagers and, you know, trying to do my work. And as I look at my colleagues, I mean, I think everyone just has done their best and has tried to kind of muscle through the best they can. And here we are kind of on the other side. And a lot of us haven't really taken time to evaluate how we're feeling and doing and take steps to restore ourselves. And so I think that's part of the reckoning that's happening now is people soldiered through a lot of really hard things for a long time, thinking that they didn't have any choice, and I guess we didn't. And I think it's time to really take a time out right now and really think about what it is that we need so that we can live rich, healthy lives and then be all the more better equipped to help take care of our work and others around us.
All right. Well, we are going to come back in our next segment. We're going to talk about some of the additional contributing factors to burnout that we're seeing across the country right now. But we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing a topic today, the new global pandemic burnout. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime real estate veteran and author, the wonderful Kara Hauser, who is a sought-after career strategist and empowerment coach. I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Kara, in the last segment, before we were taking the break, I mentioned that we were going to talk about contributing factors to burnout that are happening all over the country. And it happens from industry to industry. Obviously, we're talking about the multifamily industry specifically, but what are some of the, I guess, the base contributing factors that you see for burnout?
Yes, this is a great question. I love talking about it because this is where we start getting into how we can actually address it to be better understand where it's coming from in the first place. And one of the things which we alluded to a bit before has to do with the American hustle culture and the grind that we've all become so familiar with that it just feels like you know, the air we breathe. It feels like I know in my most recent sector of the real estate world, in the development, the housing development world, it was a peculiar badge of honor to be so busy as to have few, if any, other things to do in your life. People just wanted to feel like they were available 24/7, and that's what commitment looked like. And to admit that you wanted or needed a rest, you know, just wasn't something that people wanted to admit. And here's an example. I had a client some years ago when I was running my consultancy, and one of the investors on a Sunday, I think it was Easter Sunday, decided there was some sort of crisis. I don't think it really was. I think it was just one of those things that happens maybe because you don't plan for it well enough, and demanded that everybody on the team drop everything they were doing out to brunch with their family, whatever it was, and get to their computer and solve this problem and grind it out for 4 or 5 hours. And since I was a consultant on the project, I was happily not involved in this. And I heard, you know, everybody talking about it, kind of unpacking it the following week during our project check-in meeting. And people were patting themselves on the back. Wasn't it great? We really all came through. And I just thought, man, this is terrible. You know, it's, we all have crises at work, real ones, once in a while that we have to drop stuff and manage. And I get that. And we all get that. But when it's a regular thing and that's just expected, it really puts a tremendous amount of strain on our health, our well-being, our relationships with our families. And, you know, it's really not it's just really unsustainable.
Yeah. And, you know, what you said was it's always expected. And you know, let's talk about expectations as far as what some organizations have for their teams that they're always on. What do you say to that?
You know, it's really not, it really doesn't work. If you want to do good quality work with people who are engaged and invested over the long term, it's just, again, it's something that seems like short term. It's helpful, and I suppose you can argue that it is, but unfortunately, it puts fear in people of establishing boundaries, like healthy boundaries, around their time and availability. And frankly, those fears are sometimes pretty well founded. I mean, in some companies, if you do that, people feel like they're going to be fired, which is scary. It's very easy to get really caught up not only in their expectations from work, but just these sort of broader societal expectations, like keeping up with the Joneses. We have to have a certain title and a certain this and that. We're always looking for external validation and proof of our worth in this life, thinking that if we, you know, get to that next milestone, we're just going to be ridiculously happy and that'll be that. But, of course, that's not true. And I think we all intuitively know that. We'll just find the next thing we need to try to fill that hole inside of us, until we realize that this external validation is really not the gold. What we need to do is give this approval to ourselves, and then that empowers us to think, okay, what do I actually need to live a healthy and balanced life? And then once we know what matters most to us, we can make decisions to live our lives accordingly. I mean, we all need to make a living, obviously, but there's so much more to life than the element of paid work.
All right. Do you find that most people are people who are suffering from burnout are putting their personal needs last on their to-do list?
Oh, 100%. That is probably that. I think that's the main way most of us get there. And I'm speaking from experience because, you know, several years ago, I got myself into such a nasty point of burnout that I actually had to take a leave from the working world to go get myself back together. And it's a very gradual thing, putting yourself last. You think, oh, I've got this to do and that to do. And again, especially if you have a full-time out-of-the-house employment and caregiving responsibilities for parents or kids or whoever inside your house, you just think, oh, I'll add one more thing and I can knock this out and it's fine. And one by one, you just delete all the stuff on your list that could possibly help nourish and maintain your well-being physically and mentally. And I was absolutely guilty of that. And I work with clients, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, because we help get ourselves out of it, who do the same thing. You know, you've got a class scheduled, some exercise class, and then invariably something comes up or someone needs or demands something from you. So you just delete it and just pick up whatever's being asked of you. And again, once in a while, in a true urgent situation, fine. But over time, if we're in the habit of always putting ourselves last on the list, canceling on ourselves, et cetera, eventually we forget that we even belong on our list at all. We forget what we even like to do. We forget what sorts of exercise or personal relationships or spiritual practices, et cetera, actually nourish us. And then we really, the next step is pretty ugly. We really just lose touch with ourselves completely and end up being really these frantic to-do list checker offers who weren't too much fun to be around for ourselves or anyone.
We've got about 3 minutes left. I wanted to just make a statement and kind of get your thoughts on it. In regards to the multifamily industry, through what I do, I have an opportunity to talk to a lot of people in the industry. I get to speak with people who are in the C-suites and are heading up companies. And a lot of discussions that we've had, and this is not a scientific study by any means, this is just based on my experience, but a lot of people that I've spoken with are really noticing the need to do something about burnout and mental health. And they're taking measures internally within their organizations to put people in place and methods and so forth in place that will help employees who are experiencing burnout that can contribute to mental health issues. They're starting to see, I guess what I'm saying is they're starting to see the importance of it, whereas maybe before the pandemic, the actual pandemic, it was always on go type of thing. Now they're starting to take a step back. At least that's what I'm hearing. What are your thoughts?
I love that. And it's true. And I think it's definitely truer for some companies and industries, maybe more than others. And I mean, I think some folks have given lip service to it, but then maybe don't put it into practice, or maybe most importantly, it's not always demonstrated at the top. If top leadership doesn't practice what they preach about it, then everyone below knows the real deal, which is that, all of these theoretical supports we have around well-being aren't really true. So what I would say is for folks in leadership, and it sounds like in the conversations you're having, people are taking it really seriously. It's important to really, really, really do it ourselves and to actually show that is a value. And that makes it safe for everyone else in the organization to actually take advantage of the things that we're talking about. We can do a lot for each other as a team. For example, if we have a very strong teamwork culture, we know that when we take turns taking time off, we cover for each other, and that's how we do it, you know, here in our company. We don't call and email each other the entire time. We go ahead and take on whatever we can for the other person and just, you know, let the rest wait for them to come back. When you have cultures like that, which have that sort of supportive framework in place, it makes a huge difference for people.
Okay. Well, we are going to come back with our next segment where we're going to talk about burnouts, how it impacts our health, our life, and our work. We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce searched for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of the new global pandemic, burnout. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime real estate veteran, an author, the fabulous Kara Hauser, who is a sought-after career strategist and empowerment coach. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Carr, we talked in the last segment, we're going to talk about how burnout impacts our health, our life, and our work. What kind of studies are out there that you've seen that discuss this?
One that I just came across actually a week or so ago from Kaiser says that burned out people are 63% more likely to take sick days. And so interestingly, ironically, people end up missing even more work by not taking their PTO than they would have if they had just taken it in the first place, like we were talking about last time. If we get so burned out, it's only a matter of time until our mental and physical health starts to suffer. And so people find themselves having to take even more time off to try to recover and get to some sort of decent, healthy baseline. And I mean, obviously this is just a sick day holds a really sad, sad candle to an actual vacation day or whatever you want to call it, you know, a day where you're out at the beach, you're spending time with your family, even on, you know, the couch watching a movie with your kids. I mean, we just need these restorative times in nature and with other people, alone, whatever. And again, it just underscores what we've talked about earlier, which is if we don't stay on top of this, if we don't kind of take seriously maintaining ourselves and living balanced lives with rest as needed, we're going to end up paying for it one way or another with some sort of illness, usually mental and physical at the same time. Kind of they go hand in hand as they deteriorate. And we have to take time off work. Even when we're at work, we're not doing the level of work that we would like to do and that we would hope to be doing.
Well,
and so, go ahead.
Well, you said we're going to end up paying for it. And what I was going to ask you is from a literal standpoint, there is a cost to burnout to organizations and to the, I guess, the country. What have you found that cost is, that actual cost?
Yes, great question. So there's an article in the Harvard Business Review that estimates that the annual healthcare spending alone due to workplace burnout is anywhere from $125 billion to $190 wow. billion. So that's just healthcare spending because of, you know, physical / mental health care issues that come out of burnout. It doesn't even include the lost time working due to illness that we were talking about before. So if you add those together, this is just a very short-sighted, penny-wise, pound-foolish situation where we just think we're going to grind away as though, you know, we have limitless energy for it, and we don't. And ultimately, unfortunately, it costs us more money and time. It costs us in our health. It costs us in our well-being, in our relationships. And it costs us in having a life worth living.
We've got about 6 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to ask you, you had mentioned during the break a book that you think has some important, points to make about burnout. What, you want to tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, some folks may be familiar with this. It's become fairly well known. It's been around for, well over 10 years now. It was written by the author's named Bronnie Ware, and she was a palliative care professional for many years. And she wrote a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And these are the things that as she was caring for folks, you know, on their, before they passed away, these are the regrets that people would share. And they were just very painful and unfortunately very common. So there's a lot of lessons for people who are wondering, you know, how they might want to reorder their lives and priorities and decisions now. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you know what they are. The first one is, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. 2, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. 3, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. 4, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. And 5, I wish I'd let myself be happier. This is sort of depressing but useful at the same time, because if we look at it, we can take stock of our own choices and lifestyle and ask ourselves, you know, to what extent does any of this resonate to us? And to what extent can we make some changes, you know, such that our life feels much, much richer and more aligned with what matters most to us? Obviously, number 2, which yes. I hadn't worked so hard, is relevant to people who are out of balance with their life and their work. And this notion that we have the power to make choices that are in alignment and that do serve our values and the things that matter most to us is just a really important thing. That sometimes when we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, we forget to take a time out and reevaluate that. The other thing about it that it says to me is sometimes I hear from people, oh, I'm just going to work really hard right now. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to maintain relationships. I'm just going to do this. But then I'm going to make so much money that I'm going to retire and I'll never have to do anything again. Huh. And the two issues with that, of course, are that, one, we don't know how long we have, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We may not get to that point. And 2, if we get to that point, we're going to be such a wiped out, exhausted sort of shell of a person that we won't really have learned what we even love and enjoy, what makes us tick, what we even want to do in retirement. We won't have those relationships with people that we love to hang out with in retirement. So, you know, this always putting off, you know, putting last and putting off living a life, it doesn't really check out in reality. And it's why a lot of folks, once they do retire, undergo this very difficult emotional passage of emptiness, because so much of their identity as people was tied up in their job role. And then once that's gone and they haven't been building that foundation in themselves with what interests and people and things that they'd like to see and do, they find that it's not there. It's got to be built from scratch.
We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to ask you, you had shared in an earlier segment that at at some point in your work career, you really had to kind of walk away and have time off to yourself due to burnout. Can you kind of let us know what led to that and what the experience you went through? And again, we have about 2 minutes left in the segment.
Mm-hmm. Well, like most people and like we've talked about here, it was kind of a gradual process of just betraying every single thing that I needed to keep my life in better balance and to be in alignment with the things and the people, my kids, my family that mattered most to me. And I spent time with them, but I was having a very hard time doing it all and thinking I should have to. And then it all culminated in a family emergency, like a health emergency for my son, where I just basically broke down and freaked out. And it, unfortunately for a lot of folks, it gets to a health emergency for themselves or a family member before they really just are sort of smacked to attention and are forced to really look in the face what's going on and see that the level of stress they've been operating under, and I use operating in a very loose way, you're sort of so fried, you're just barely getting by, but that level of stress that you're operating under all the time is so unsustainable. And finally, for a lot of people, me included, it took getting to a pretty bad place and a really scary emergency in order to have to say, okay, we need to make some changes. We need to do it sooner than later. Let's make a plan and, make that a reality. And like everyone else, we had bills to pay. So we made a plan to make that happen. And so that we could, pull it off financially. But it was the best choice I ever could have made. I mean, it's the basis for how I came to do what I'm doing now, actually. I took a couple of years going test driving everything, trying to figure out what on earth I was going to do to, get myself sort of back in order and back well in terms of mind, body, spirit, my relationships. And it was a fabulous and fascinating journey, which I have been now distilled into a program that I help my clients with. Because I know what it's like when you're in that place, you barely have the energy to do anything, much less go and figure out like a 50-point plan to help yourself recover.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. And we are going to be back right after these messages. We're going to talk when we come back a little bit about solutions for creating balance in your life. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of the new global pandemic, which is burnout. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime real estate veteran and author, the awesome Kara Hauser, who is a sought-after career strategist and empowerment coach. And Carr, in the last segment, at the end, I mentioned that in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about solutions for creating balance, but you kind of have a distinct way of looking at it, which you kind of flip the script, because you look at it as life-work balance, not work-life balance, which I think most people are familiar with the work-life balance term. Tell us about that.
Yes, this seems like such a simple shift, and frankly, it is in a literal sense. It's just a reordering of the words from work-life balance to life-work balance. And I'm just sick of work-life balance as a concept, because it suggests, in the way that it's presented, that work is in fact priority, paid work, and the rest of it, all the care work and the rest of life and relationships and, you know, learning guitar, traveling, being a kind of a whole and interesting human being, healthy in all ways, is sort of like secondary, optional, and like a fun to have thing. And that's just could not be further from the truth if you want to build a meaningful life anyway. And so I don't use that. I use life work balance, because paid work is but one piece of a puzzle that fits inside a broad, overall, rich, full-bodied, joy-filled life. And when we look at it that way, we see that it needs to be given its due respect and place, but it needs to be given that it needs to be prioritized and evaluated along with all the other things that we want to make true in our lives.
What values people, you know, what matters most?
So that is something that I actually work with clients a lot on, because it's different for person to person, right? I mean, we all have our natural talents and gifts and interests in this world. We've got different people in our lives who we value. We have different just interests and pursuits and things that light us up. And so what's really important to do, and most of us do it either never or infrequently, is to take some time out and take stock and really dig into our kind of core self and ask ourselves, what is it that matters most to us in our lives? You know, when our time is up, what do we want to say that we have, that we put time and energy and resources into? And it's a personal exploration that people go through, but it's a really essential one, because once those things have been established and are known and are solid in you, then we're in a much better place to make very clear choices about how we align, how we spend our time and energy and resources with those things. We're able to decide, all of a sudden, everything starts becoming easier. What to say yes and no to, you know, how much time and energy to spend on something. Just the ability and confidence to say, you know, no, I'd rather not pursue that right now, but here's something I do. And then to order our schedules accordingly.
And is there some type of a exercise that people need to go through to determine what things matter most?
Yes. I mean, it's a lot can be done just through a series of like journal prompts and spending time, just doing some introspective time themselves. It's helpful to work with a coach or talk with a friend who's going through a similar process. And, you know, there's a whole lot of resources out there to help do that. And in fact, I've culminated a bunch of them in articles that I write and in the book that I've written for people and in courses that I do. And it all comes down to just practice listening to ourselves and meeting our own needs. And it's something that, again, is foreign to a lot of people. So it starts with something as simple as our morning routine. Like, what do we do when we wake up in the morning? And so that's something that I work with people on, so that we can get out of the habit that a lot of us do, and that I've been guilty of too, where you get up, look at your phone, lament about the crisis at work, email, and the state of the world, lumber into the kitchen for your coffee, and then, you know, move on to take your day in really not the greatest state of mind. That alone is a huge game changer for a lot of folks, because they're able to say, okay, let's just take that first hour or so of the day and let's fill it with things that actually nourish and help me and get me ready to take on this day from a health standpoint. You know, you get up and you maybe you spend a few minutes journaling or just a few minutes sitting in mindful silence or praying or whatever it is that you like to do. Then you go for a little walk, you have your tea and coffee, you fill it with your personal ingredients for well-being, which are different for different people. One of mine is trail running. I'm into it, and different people like to do different stuff. But you fill it with your kind of top few ingredients for well-being. And then once you're done with all that and you've set the tone for your day, you've taken responsibility for your, you know, how you're going to enter into your day, then, yeah, you can spend some time on social media, this or that. It's fine. But you don't want to let that action hijack your energy levels, where your attention goes, and all those other things that can set your day off on a wrong tone.
We've got about 3 minutes before I want to transition to something else with you, but talk about how this healthy lifestyle creates a win-win situation.
So this is the part that I love the best, and that's the fact that when we do, this is like the number one neon light lesson that I learned the hard way, and that's that the more I learn to truly take care of and nourish myself, the more I had to give to my family, my work, my community, the world at large. You know, if I'm just like a stressed out, you know, bag of worries all the time, if that's not a fun person or a very effective person out in the world, and everything else is going to feel that energy and frankly suffer it as a result. So we're not actually doing anyone any favors when we just grind away endlessly. The most effective people I've ever worked with, and this is certainly true for myself too, are the people that have created very rich, full lives for themselves. You know, they take time to do something in the realm of exercise. They take time to do things that support their mental health. They take time to cultivate rich relationships. They have interests. You know, they play an instrument. They do paint. They do whatever it is. They knit socks. Whatever it is that they are into, they spend time and energy doing, and it really fills their cup. And it's to the point where now they're showing up to their families and to their work just much more energized and engaged and ready to do, you know, creative work and to connect with other people, to lead their teams with a much higher level of engagement and care. They've just got so much better problem-solving skills because they're not in high-level stress mode all the time. So it is absolutely a win when we make those brave decisions and set those boundaries and make a lifestyle that works for us. It actually works really well for everyone and everything else too. And that's the best win-win I can think of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And just real quick, we have about 30 seconds before I want to transition. In your personal journey, when you kind of walked away and got everything prioritized the way you wanted to and came back, what type of comments did you get from people that maybe you didn't see all the time, but then noticed potentially that something was different?
Oh, yeah. People thought I was a different person. And, you know, looking back, I just thought, man, I was very difficult. I was going through some very difficult times. Mm. And people really noticed and wanted to know, like, what has happened here? What is the secret sauce of this? And it's part of how and why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I mean, when I initially came out of my burnout, I opened a consultancy in my business because I wanted to have control, you know, over autonomy and the purpose and the folks I work with and all that good stuff around the work in a way that allowed for. And, you know, I basically had to put the put all of this stuff that I've been preaching into practice and say, okay, now that I'm super busy again, fine. How am I going to keep all of these wonderful mindsets, habits, and practices that I've cultivated and learned in my life and keep them there? And so then I spent the next, 5 years figuring out how to really do it when the rubber hits the road. And then, as we've been talking about, my current work is to help other people with that journey and transition and upskilling and all that good stuff so they can get into living the lives that their hearts desire.
Yeah. And we have about a minute and a half left in the show, but tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing now as a career strategist and empowerment coach, as well as how people can reach out to you if they have questions or they'd like to talk to you about helping them.
Yes, absolutely. And first of all, thank you so much, Paul. You've been such a gracious host. It's been so lovely to be here with you today. I would love to connect with folks. A couple best ways are on LinkedIn. My name's Kara Hoosier, CaraHooser. And my website, karahoosier.com. If you're interested in finding out more about this stuff, I've written a book, which is called Burned Out to Lit Up, and it's a playbook for burnout recovery. It's launching in October of this year, and will be available on Amazon and all those other great places. And then if you want to do a more guided journey, I created a program called Sabbatical in a Box, in which it's made for working folks who are, folks who haven't left the country and who are actually just kind of trying to deal with all this stuff within their lives. It's a 7-week group guided program, super distilled. We meet once a week on Zoom. And I also send you a box of, like a literal box of delightful stuff, all the materials and goodies that you need to support your journey. So if you're interested in that, the next group of folks starts in September, and you can find out more about that on the website too.
All right. Fantastic. Well, we are going to have to end it here. Kara, I'd love to have you back again in the future. We can talk more about this and other topics that you feel will be important for our listeners to know about. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.